God's word for our consideration this morning, God's word to nourish us, God's word to strengthen us, God's word to lift us up, is from the Old Testament lesson from the prophet Micah. And here Micah writes and speaks toward the end of our text. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. So far God's word for our consideration this morning. So I want you to think about your life. And as you think about your life, I want you to think about that word, hope. Because we usually use that word as pertains to us in a selfish way. I do hope that I'll be able to get the correct Christmas gift. I hope that we'll be able to go to our relatives for Christmas. I hope that the train will be on time. I hope that as we are traveling to Mount Moriah, Byron, Minnesota for Christmas Eve services, that the train that goes through Lake City will not stop us or impede our travel. You see how we use that word hope. A man who was traveling, and he didn't have anything really to do in the evening, but he saw that the lights were on a baseball field. So he decided to go over there. He decided to watch a game of little people running back and forth. And he bent down to the dugout, and there was a guy there, and he says, "Say, son, how's the game going?" And the little boy looked up at him, and he said, "Well, it's not going too badly. We're just behind by 18-0. And the man looked at the guy, and he says, "Boy, that's got to be depressing." He says, "No, it isn't depressing. We haven't been up yet." Well, that's hope. That's hope that when the guys come back in, that they'll be able to get the runs back. That's something that we really think about. We think about our life. We're impressed by hoping for different things to come to fruition. But that's not why Micah is writing. Not writing about our physical lives, but by writing for hope here. What Micah is all wrapped up in is the hope of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior, the one who comes to a hopeless people. We live in a hopeless world. We live in a world where weapons, mass destruction, machine guns, many other different weapons that are to be used to kill. We live in a world that has lost that hope. We are in a world that is looking at the doomsday clock. I seem to remember a couple months ago that there was an article about the doomsday clock, and they showed this big, huge, humongous clock, and it showed us ticking to midnight. They think at midnight the world's going to be destroyed. I, on the other hand, believe that God's not going to let that happen, because he created this world, and he told Noah and his family that he would never destroy the earth again by water. Still, the God of all hope comes to us. The God of all hope uses his son, the babe lying in the manger, to give us hope. To give us that hope that grabs hold of Jesus. Knowing, yes, I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. I'm greedy. I'm jealous. I'm envious. I am those things that the Lord says are sins. I have send in thought, word, and deed.
And I do hope that God will forgive me. That's our spiritual hope. That's the hope that we latch on to. And that's our faith that is grounded in that hope.
For the writer of the Hebrews writes this. He puts faith this way. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
That's what hope is. The conviction of things not seen. And that conviction of things not seen allows me to look at the end of my life. Allows me to see that as Christ opens the gates of heaven to me because he died and rose again on my behalf and for my sins to give me everlasting life and forgiveness of sins, the hope that I have is realized in Jesus Christ, even though I'm a filthy, dirty, sinful person, sinning and not looking to God, turning away from him.
I was sharing in the Bible class this morning how important daily devotions are. I didn't share this. When I don't open up the scriptures, when I don't have my daily devotion, my day falls apart. It falls apart at the seams. I'm not a happy person. I get in arguments with someone very dear to me. And that happens because of sin. In my first parish, I was talking to a group of ladies, L.W. Mel, and I read for them Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. And I said, in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is telling us about sin. And he says, the very thing I wish to do, I cannot do because it's sin dwelling in me. And this gal said, you know, Pastor, that's a cop-out. And I said, no, that's the truth. The truth is that we do the very things that we do not want to do. And yet, God forgives us our sins. He has that realization of hope. And he gives us that strength and hope. And he gives us that to strengthen us, to lift us up, to encourage us in this life. Because we need that. We need that encouragement. And as we celebrate Christmas this coming week, Christmas Eve, and we have candles and we're singing the hymns, we also realize that the babe in the manger has come for us and has come for me. Has come for me to take my sins upon his shoulders and to die on that ugly cross, to be placed in that tomb that never had a body placed in there before, to rise and give us the assurance of eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And as Micah ends that chapter and he says, and he will be their peace. You know, when we think about peace, we think about earthly peace. We think about the actions that are happening over in the Middle East. And we wish that they could sit down and forge an agreement of peace and no more war. That's not the peace that Mike is talking about. It's the peace of Jesus. When Jesus is standing there with his disciples in the upper room, and he said, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And Micah's words of hope ring true in Christ, and his word of peace
that he gives to us. A word that lifts us up and makes us know that Jesus suffered for us to give us that peace, an eternal peace of eternal life and salvation and forgiveness. This is a beautiful time of the year to be around God's Word, to see that God's Word gives us hope as we look forward in our lives. Yes, we can apply that hope to Mount Moriah, that we hope that we continue on. We hope that things will look brighter. We hope that the seeds that we have planted in our community and the hearts of others will take fruit. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we hang on to. That's the hope that God has planted in our hearts, and that God will water it and God will make it grow. You see, we seem to think that it's our problem to solve. It's our problem to give to the Lord, because the Lord is going to cause this assembly, this gathering to grow. That's the hope that we have. And the hope will be realized in God's time, not our time. That's what's amazing with God. God doesn't live by our time. God doesn't live by the clock on the wall. God doesn't live by the calendar that is produced. God doesn't live by that clock on our wrists or the phone that we pull up. God operates on his time. In Galatians chapter 4, in his time, he caused Jesus to come as the babe of Bethlehem. See, it's God's time. We're on God's time, not our time. And God lifts us up with this word of hope and this word of peace and this word of everlasting love and everlasting forgiveness that's in the babe of Bethlehem in the manger. What peace we have. What assurance we have. What hope we have. And that hope lives in us. It carved out its little niche in our hearts and our lives, and it's living right there because of Christ. In Christ's name, amen.